I just don't know why having more Republicans makes it a bad thing, because apparently Republicans want to keep losing, you know? But the fact that these Republicans keep falling for these tactics and believing that there's still really only two candidates in the race looks bad for us.
We look like the party of stupid idiots. Stupid. I mean, that's really what we look like.
Welcome to Political Contessa. I'm Jennifer Nassor, and this show is here to support your interest in center-right politics, policy, and breaking news. Listen in and discover how to awaken your inner ideal candidate, and if you're ready, how you can jump in and change the world as a runner or a supporter. Welcome to Political Contessa. If you or a friend have ever considered running, or you know a woman who should, I've got something just for you. My quick guide called Secrets from the Campaign Trail. It will show you five signs to tell you you're ready to enter the political arena. To get these tips and learn about all new podcast episodes and ways to get involved, head over to politicalcontessa.com. Hello, and welcome to Political Contessa. I'm Jennifer Nassor, and I am your Political Contessa. I have with me today a repeat guest, someone who I have a tremendous amount of respect for, a friend right over the border in New Hampshire, Kim Rice, former president pro tempore of the New Hampshire legislature, and someone who has a deep understanding of politics. But more importantly, she was instrumental in Nikki Haley in New Hampshire, and with a whole bunch of other great ladies who have also been on the show before. And so I wanted to bring in Kim Rice to talk about Super Tuesday, to talk about South Carolina, and just generally to talk about our favorite topic, Nikki Haley. So welcome, Kim.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's good
thanks
to be back.
For being here. It's always fun to talk to someone else who has such a deep understanding of what we're doing, what we're trying to accomplish here.
Yes, it's great. We could go on forever.
I know. I usually, so little, you know, side note and inside to the operations here, I usually have some time on with my guests to have a conversation and just before. And we, Kim and I could literally talk. We talk so much. So I'm like, shoot, I'm not even recording this. This is like all good content. So we're going to end up talking about all the stuff that we talk about beforehand, maybe with a little less cursing, but I'm not really sure if I could do that after listening to Trump too much this weekend. All right, let's start with South Carolina, and not from the perspective, I think from a couple of perspectives. One, Nikki's classy speech, because she's always classy, but Trump's horrific speech, which he's always horrific. Mm-hmm. And then where we go for Super Tuesday and the importance of the of getting out the vote and those unenrolled voters. Let's do some lessons from New Hampshire first.
Sure. So New Hampshire was, you know, I think the starting point, right? Iowa, okay, their caucus, yeah, but New Hampshire really kicks things off. And I think she had a strong showing in New Hampshire. And then, you know, she brought the momentum into South Carolina, because Nevada, nobody knows what goes on in Nevada.
And owned by Trump, so it's fine.
Yeah, I still don't understand Nevada.
I don't understand the primary, the
primary,
caucus.
Whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, so New Hampshire, I think she had a lot of energy coming out of New Hampshire. And, you know, the momentum just kept going. And she was not, I love Nikki's attitude, her energy. I think her supporters are just so strong behind her that nothing is going to slow us down. We are strong believers in her. But we're not.
That's an important part. That, right? I love how you got that in there.
But we, you know, we stand strong behind her because she makes sense. She's looking forward. She's optimistic. She's looking for a strong and proud America. We're leaving the chaos and drama behind. And that is what so many Americans are craving. And I think by looking at South Carolina, there were 40% of the voters there said they don't want to see another Donald Trump presidency. And I think that that says a lot. I think that shows trouble for Donald Trump going into the general election. And I think that you're going to see a lot of that going across the country. And I can tell you that, you know, I see people all over social media, they're saying, please don't stop. They don't want her to stop. They want her to go all the way. And as do I. You know, every time Donald Trump says something, Nikki Haley makes more money.
She made like, $1 million.
Recently.
Yeah.
You know, every time he says something, she's got new merch out immediately and she's making millions of dollars for the campaign. So he can keep talking because it's keeping her in the race.
Exactly. That she made $1 million after the South Carolina primary overnight. I mean, if that is not a message, and for all of the fools out there who keep saying that she should get out, listen. You know, money talks and bullshit walks.
Absolutely.
Right? And so
hair on here?
Oh yeah, I do all the time. I'm not regulated. No one is taking anything out. I'm not bleeped. I try to stop myself every once in a while. But seriously, when, you know, we both know as people who have been involved in this business a long time, listen, you know, as long as the donors are coming around, then you're doing the right thing. As long as the volunteers are not headed home, they're not getting paid. They're coming out in big numbers to keep supporting her, to go to rallies, to go to events, and just give her general support. I think that is so meaningful when people are still on the phone, still calling into states, still doing the work. And so why would you go anywhere? Because really, it's like she, whereas Trump is, and you mentioned this, I'm just going to get, you know, more specific, but I mean, MAGA is a cult.
Yes.
There is no MAGA party. It is the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. And I'm sorry, I'm a little stickler on this whole constitutional thing, which I know that Trump does not believe in, but the whole Constitution was written for a two-party system. And until we can figure something else out to have a third party, there is no third party. And MAGA is not a party. You cannot register to be MAGA. It is a cult. And so, you know, you are following someone who spews lies, who has very, I mean, his words this weekend, and I'm probably going to bounce around a little bit, but, you know, his words this weekend on the Black community loving him because of his mugshots and his indictments, and that he's also persecuted at the same rate as they are, and that's why they love him, was so incredibly racist.
Blows my mind.
Right. It's 2024. You have no idea what you're talking about. First of all, I'm sorry. Just because of the color of your skin does not mean that, like, your mugshot or incarceration or anything is going to change. It's not going to change. It is so unbelievable that he is
going to draw you to him.
Putting the Black community down like that. That is all they're known for, is being criminals.
Amazing.
That is just amazing to me. I mean, I have, as we all do, lots of friends, and they are all doing amazing things in their own right. And like to just say that's the case. In the meantime, we all know people who have been incarcerated and, you know, are white. And so that, first of all, was the most obnoxious racist thing I heard. The next thing is, you are talking to people when you are giving speeches from gold ballrooms, you're driving around in fancy cars, you're driving around on private, you're flying around on private jets, you own billions of dollars in real estate. And the reason that you're in trouble is because, one, you sexually assaulted a woman, who you had some shady business dealings. I mean, and whatever, maybe that's the norm in that level of business. And maybe he's not going to have to pay the, you know,
$345 million
there, and $83 million to E. Jean Carroll. But at the end of the day, like, those numbers actually exist, and right. those are white collar crimes. So what he's even talking about is such bullshit. It makes my head spin. So he's just racist. The misogynistic, sexist part, when one Mozzie Flip, when he mm-hmm. said that she was a foolish woman. I mean, that it was just outrageous. Like, this woman has so much going for her. A mom of seven. She is a legislator in Nassau County. She ran for Congress. She ran a great campaign. The reason she lost was, one, Trump, and two, you know, you had George Santos there right before her. And that scar was real for people. Had nothing to do with her, just had to do with the political climate. And he goes out and says she's a foolish woman because she didn't endorse the MAGA cult.
So I want to know, when is anything going to be Donald Trump's fault? When is anything going to be Donald Trump's fault? Because clearly nothing is, right? Ronna McDaniels is stepping down because all these elections have been lost, and it's clearly her fault, because it's definitely not that anything he touches turns to shit, right? Any candidate that he endorses is losing. Oh, but it's not Donald Trump. No, no. So when is anything going to be his fault? Because he didn't lose the 2020 election. That wasn't him. That was fraud and corruption and everything else. Because he couldn't have possibly lost an election, because I'm going to tell you, in November, we're going to see him lose an election again if he's the nominee. It's going to be too tight to call. We're already seeing it. And he's alienating all of Nikki Haley's supporters. We've been barred permanently. He's calling us names. I don't know how he thinks he's going to win. Is he going to turn around after, you know, a few weeks and try to embrace us all? Because that's not going to work. So I want to know when Donald Trump takes responsibility for anything. For Fauci, right? Because we have this whole base of Ron DeSantis supporters that hated Fauci, but yet he put him in place. So how does it, you know, when do his supporters see the responsibility of what Donald Trump did and didn't do? The $8 trillion in debt, the whole COVID thing that the DeSantis supporters, who are now supporting Trump, didn't see, because they want Trump, because, you know, they don't want a Nikki Haley presidency, because then DeSantis can't run again in 4 years.
Exactly.
Right. So you tell me what part, and the DeSantis people are throwing away their values because they, you know, they want their candidate to run in 4 years, where there was a no way can we have a Trump presidency. We're not going to survive it. You know, we have Tim Scott, who, in my opinion, sold his soul to the devil, right? From the woman who appointed him.
Yes.
There's Nancy Mace, who,
oh, disgusting.
How wonderful Nikki Haley was, and now has turned on her for power.
Yes.
People make me sick. There is no moral clarity with these people at all.
No. No, there's not. I mean, and that's, I think that's a really unfortunate part of what I see going on, is that, you know, we have, God, there's so much to unpack.
Sorry, I just kind of went on a rant.
No, I mean, because that's what I usually do. I go on a rant because Trump made promises, you know, and I think Nikki was being kind at first when she said he was mm-hmm. the right president at the right time. I think she was being very kind in the way that she is.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, he did not do anything. Remember, that was 2016, right? Mm-hmm. We're already talking 8 years ago when he became president. That's 8 years ago. That is, kids that are 18 today, young adults, were 10. They were in middle school.
Yeah.
They're able to vote right now. So that was a very long time ago for a lot of people's lives. If you were 28 today, you were 20 back then. You were in college. You weren't paying attention to your taxes and what was right. going on around you. So he promised to close the border, that he was going to build a big, beautiful wall. He got 400 miles of wall done. He had Congress, both houses, for two of the years that he was president. He could have sat them down and said, I want a comprehensive immigration reform bill, because if you do it, Congress, then that will actually stand and it's going to be very difficult to overturn. No, instead, he went out with his big ego. He stroked a pen and he said, here's what I'm doing. I'm sorry. We all know this, right? Because if I walked in after, you know, a Democrat was there, I would reverse all their policies too. And so, of course, Democrat is going to reverse the Republican policies. First thing that Biden does is reverse it. Then we're in the shit show that we're in today. Mm-hmm. It is his fault that the border is a disaster. Number one. Number two, he's playing footsie with Putin. He's playing footsie in China. He's playing footsie in North Korea. And all he wants to do is be up on the big stage with these guys and say, look at me. I'm going to ride a horse with my shirt off like Putin does. And everyone's going to love me because this guy only cares. Oh, please keep his shirt on. Perfect. That is actually something that's terrifying.
I can't get that out of my mind. And
a very bad visual. Do not listen to this early in the morning after you've eaten. You might get sick. But he wanted to be one of them. And so what happens? They think, great, we've got this guy in our pocket. We could do anything we want. We're just going to start invading people. Iran, they don't care, right? Yeah. Afghanistan, they don't care. They know exactly what's going on. He set the stage for Joe Biden to be the weakest president that he is because he was already coming in weak, and now he's even weaker. We lost elections 2018, 2020, 2022. Donald Trump was president in 2018. He was on the ballot in 2020, and all the endorsements he made in 2022, of all those people, they lost. Let's not talk about what he did in Georgia and the disaster he caused there that lost us not one, but two United States Senate seats. I mean, I could go on and on about what Donald Trump was going to do, including drain the swamp. Yeah. Last week I was on a panel and the Trump surrogate said, you know, Trump couldn't do anything because there are 4,000 political appointees and Trump came in. He was a novice. He didn't know he was supposed to get rid of those people. Hold on a second. This man has run companies since he came out of the womb. You're telling me that he didn't know that you dump the dead wood that doesn't have the same agenda as you? Come on. Like, you're a corporate raider, you buy and sell real estate like it's going out of style, and you don't realize that you're supposed to get rid of these people. And then the guy said, but next time he's going to get rid of the dead wood. He's going to get rid of the swamp. No, he actually increased the swamp now, because before the swamp creatures that were elected officials were against him. Now that he has all of the swamp creatures. And so I don't know how Tim Scott goes to sleep at night. I don't know how DeSantis goes to sleep at night. He makes fun of your wife. He picks on the fact that she has cancer. All the things that he said about you. Marco Rubio should be ashamed of himself. Ted Cruz should be ashamed of themselves. It is so nauseating. And so many people have lost credibility with me. And not because I support Nikki, but stay out of it. Just stay out of the race.
Exactly.
You don't have to endorse him, but they're so scared if they don't kiss the ring of what's going to happen. And I think that, you know, listen, in New Hampshire, you have 40% unenrolled voters. Massachusetts, we have almost 62% unenrolled voters.
Wow.
Yes. So for me, it is people are unenrolled in our states because they don't like what either party is selling.
Yeah.
And they want to keep an open mind. And so they need to know these facts, like $8+ trillion on the economy. When you said you were going to slash budgets, Congress has not had a budget on time, right? Balance the budget, have it on time. Just like we need to do in our homes. We can't say, oh, sorry, electric company, I haven't figured out my finances yet. Like, I just float me a few months.
Or sorry, bank, but I need an increase in my debt ceiling.
You can't do that. And oh, by the way, healthcare company, but I still get primo health insurance by not working. Their only job, Congress's only job, is to produce a budget. That is all that they were meant to be doing.
Yeah.
And they can't even do that, which means that they are not doing their job, which means that they should not have health insurance, which is what Nikki has said. Okay, fine. That's great. Which is why they don't want her elected to office.
Exactly.
Not only their own political futures, but because of the fact that she is actually going to do what she says she's going to do. So again, I appeal to those unenrolled voters saying, listen, wherever you are, you can't sit on your hands. You can't not go vote. You have to vote. You have to have your voice heard. And listen, you know what? Vote for Nikki Haley now. If you don't like her come November and it's her and Biden and you think Biden has done an amazing job, vote for Biden. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. All I want is for people to have an actual choice.
Exactly. There is another option other than Trump, and the people can make that choice. Nikki Haley is on the ballot. She has gone against the Republicans. She has made change. She has gone against her own party to get a balanced budget and put them on the record in South Carolina. And that is the difference. People, Republicans don't want to be held accountable. And I think that's ridiculous because we are the party of transparency.
Yeah, we were. No, you're Kim, you're
we
confusing.
Were.
You're confusing today,
right,
MAGA, with what is called establishment. You know, the party that was functioning from the 1970s until Trump was elected. That's
yes.
what it was like, right? We actually
yes.
cared about what was going on with our allies. We cared about the border. We cared about people coming in and getting trained and having jobs and living the American dream, not mm-hmm. shutting off the borders, telling everyone to go screw themselves, increasing our debt, you know, and taking care of our friends because they're kissing the ring. They're scared of us. It's amazing because that's what we talk about as something that is what we're supposed to be, what the Republican
right.
Party that I registered as, you know, as a Republican, what you registered as a Republican for, all of those, you know, your freedoms, your choices, your, you know, the transparency,
yes.
the deregulation, not what he has done to the country. And I cannot find any Trump supporter, including the surrogates that go out on TV and radio that do panels with me, that can say anything about what Trump is going to do in the future, other than what he said in 2016. Again, I'm going to point out 2016 was 8 years ago.
Yes.
So what he said 8 years ago is still his vision for the country today.
Like nothing has changed in 8 years. And let's remind people that in his, you know, first term, 8 years ago, he added $8+ trillion to the national debt. That is not the Republican way. Okay. It was funny because on X last night, I had put out a tweet about how I had donated to Nikki again. And somebody said, "What can you imagine pissing away this money on a loser?" And I shot back and said, "Can you imagine supporting someone who added $8+ trillion to the national debt so your children and grandchildren can piss away that money in taxes?" I mean, people have to think. And the MAGA cult will make more excuses or actually flat out deny that he ever did that. I don't know what blinders they put on, but they live in some fantasy world of denial.
Yes.
And they think that they think if they deny it long enough, it's true.
Yes. I mean, it's I say to them all the time, I'm like, wow, you have the whole Trump book of lies.
Yes.
All out there. So let's go through some facts and figures because I love statistics. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. When I took statistics in college, I was like, God, I'm never going to use this crap. And then I use it all the time. And I love statistics. So fact, 70% of American voters do not want to see another Trump-Biden showdown.
Right.
That is a fact. 70%. That's not a slim majority. That is an overwhelming majority.
Yes. Fact. I would call that a supermajority.
That's a supermajority. Fact, 60% of Americans think that both Biden and Trump are too old to run for office and to serve again. That is also a fact. Fact, 40% of voters in every state so far that has voted, and we only have a handful of them, do not want Trump as the nominee. Now, that is not 40% don't want him as president of all voters. That is 40% of the voters who have voted in the Republican primary do not want Trump. So if we break that down and we say, okay, half of voters, you know, are Republican, half Democrat, half vote in each primary. That is 40% of 50% don't want Trump. When you add that on to the greater.
Yes.
Right. Now you have all those Democrats who voted in the Democratic primary who vote in a general election along with that. I'm just going to say that's also more than half of voters don't want Trump. OK, we have poll numbers out of the states that actually count for those swing states that we really are concerned about: Pennsylvania, yeah. Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin. I'm missing someone. Those states, Nikki Haley wins by 13% to 18%. Most recent polling data from, I think it was Quinnipiac or Marquette, showed that she was up 18 points over Biden. Eight. Nationally, 18 points. That is a shellacking. Okay, let's go back to what you and I were talking
about. And let's talk about what that 18% means. That's not just winning the presidency. That's winning all down ballot. That's the Senate. That's the House. That's governorships. That's school boards. That's House of Representatives, Senates in the states. I mean, that's huge.
Yes. That's school boards. That is your planning board. That is your water commission. That is your agricultural commission. That is
all the way down ballot.
All the way down. And again, what we were talking about, Trump lost seats in 18 mm-hmm. when he was president, 20 when he was on the ballot, and 22 when he wasn't on the ballot, but he was supporting the wrong candidates and worked against the candidates that could win.
Yeah.
And so that is makes a gigantic difference. Having a winner at the top who's not just skimming by, but someone, you know, rising tides lifts all ships, right? That's exactly what will happen with Nikki. And then you and I were also talking about the press, the media, right? At first, mm-hmm. the media was all over Nikki. They were so intrigued by her and they had nice things to say. But funny thing happens on the way to Election Day. That media has suddenly taken a different tune. Now, conservative media was always in bed with Trump. And, you know, I'm a wise ass, as you all know, and I don't really actually care. If I ever have to worry about my livelihood from a Trump lover or Trump, I'm in deep trouble.
I'll live on the street.
I'd rather live in a cardboard box. Like, right. I don't care. You know, conservative media, I think if Trump doesn't win or Trump goes bankrupt, I'm not sure how they're going to get paid anymore because they are all get on the Trump, you know. But on the liberal side, I am just amazed at how they have sold their souls down the river. And honestly, the only people in the press I have any respect for now are the ones who actually believe in small d democracy, that actually believe in a thriving two-party system, that believe that voters need a choice, that believe that even though you don't agree with the person, if it's a good person, they have the best intentions in mind. And the liberal media, once they figured out that Nikki could beat Biden, turned on her. And they talk about is Biden and Trump, Biden and Trump, Biden and Trump. When is Nikki Haley going to get out of the race?
Yeah.
And that is a problem because the average voter is listening to mainstream media of their choice. They're listening to cable of their choice. And if you are not paying attention, you don't know that Nikki actually has a chance. You don't know that 70% of Americans, even though you despise both of these guys, you don't know that 70% of Americans don't want them. You don't know that 60% think they're too old, even though you think they're too old. You don't realize that 40% continues not to vote for Trump. Over 40% doesn't vote for Trump. So if you listen to them, they've already called the race in November, and it depends on who you listen to, who is going to win, right? Mm-hmm. If you listen to conservative media, they tell you Biden's going to win because they want you to go vote for Trump. If you listen to liberal media, they say that Trump is going to win because they want you to go vote for Biden. So it's scare tactics from both sides. Mm-hmm. Disgusting.
Yeah. And even we had Gavin Newsom, who came out and was talking up Nikki Haley and, oh, how great she is, because that there's another ploy, right? Another tactic that we're going to pretend that she's a Democrat plant so that we can turn Republicans against her. And you and I both know she was a Tea Party conservative governor. These people are ridiculous to try to make her out like she's a Democrat because we want to have a big tent Republican party. I mean, I just don't know why having more Republicans makes it a bad thing, because apparently Republicans want to keep losing, you know? But the fact that these Republicans keep falling for these tactics and believing that there's still really only two candidates in the race is looks bad for us.
We look like the party of stupid idiots. I mean, that's really what we look like. Uneducated, uninformed dummies. I mean, because so what's amazing to me when I hear that, so the acronym RINO goes up my ass sideways. It honestly, it pisses me off to no end. Like, I am a fiscal conservative. I have my own social views are my social views that belong to me based off of how I was raised. It's no one else's business. How I raise my children is also no one else's business. But I think that you can relate everything to the economy and being fiscally conservative. I have been a Republican since the day I registered to vote. So for anyone to call me a RINO, which has happened in Massachusetts by our former party chair, who is a Democrat until he was a Republican, from a former perpetual candidate who also was a Democrat until he was a Republican. And I'm like, that's funny. So wait, you just dumped your Democratic views and you became a Republican and you can judge me? That's hysterical.
But these are people that became Republicans when Trump became president. Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah. So a lot
of this just like Trump became a Republican when he decided to run for president.
Wait, after he was donating to Hillary Clinton and the Clintons all those years.
Kamala Harris.
And so I'm always amazed by Republicans who say he is the real Republican and she is a Democratic plant. So we can do like a side by side, right? Like on conservative values. On actual socially conservative values, Nikki is way ahead of Trump. Mm-hmm. The difference with Nikki and every man out there and a lot of women out there is that Nikki says, even though this is what I believe in, just what I said, I'm willing to listen. I understand that everyone is different. And what happens in Alabama is totally different than Massachusetts or New Hampshire or Vermont or Maine or Virginia. It's a totally different situation. And so you guys, you do you. So that
put it down to the states where it was always meant to be.
Go to the states. And I'm not going to endorse anything that's federal. That is all up to you. That is a negotiation. That is a collaboration. That is what she's very good at. How she gets thrown in there. And again, that's party building. Right. We have seen enough of our former chairs where they do addition by subtraction. If we make this as small as possible, we'll win. No, you're not. Really?
They clearly failed math.
They failed math. I didn't know that was actually something that happened. And I never learned that. And I've never seen that. Like, I thought you needed to appeal to a broad base. Anyway, so we have that. Then we have the fact that as governor, she increased jobs. She lowered the debt, right? She had a balanced budget. She, you know, brought in 400,000 new people came to South Carolina after she was governor, because that's what a strong state South Carolina was.
She did welfare to work. She had the lowest recidivism rate when it came to prison reform. I mean, she did amazing things for South Carolina.
Yes, which no one remembered. You've got Trump. Let's see. He only has been in bankruptcy. He understands being bankrupt more than he understands making money.
Yeah.
Trump was given $11 million as a young man from his dad to go and start his business. Okay, $11 million. $11 million today is a lot of money. $11 million, let's see, he's 77 years old. So he was given this over 50 years ago, $11 million.
Wow, that was a lot of money back
then. That was a lot of money back then. How this guy, anyone thinks that he understands the plight of the real working person. Nikki, on the other hand, child of immigrants, parents had a small business. She did the accounting for the small business. She went to school and became an accountant. She understands what it's like to hustle growing up in a small town as a brown girl in a black and white world. Mm-hmm. So she understands the racism part. She understands the sexism part. She understands all of the things that go on today. She understands what it's like to be a mom, to raise kids in this world, to have a son that's going to school in the South and still has to deal with the woke professors and the woke culture that's out there. And I hate using that word, but it is,
it's,
you know,
true.
But it's true. It is what it is. I mean, and I see with my own kids. And so it is, those are all the things that she understands. She's completely in tune. I also want to point out one other thing. I'm going to point out more things, but you and I are very similar. And by the way, if you're, when you, you who's listening, you need to check out not just my Twitter, because it's always funny, but Kim Rice. Follow Kim Rice. Kim has, it is like just a constant flow of consciousness that gets out on Twitter. It is so funny, but it's educated. It's spot on. Kim, I love your tweets. Make my day every single day.
I get so fired up sometimes.
Oh, it's awesome. I look at it. I'm like, oh, I love it. I'm so like, I can't believe you got to it before me, but you're so on it. It's awesome. I wanted to tweet this and I was being very respectful to Nikki, not tweeting it out, but I have said it since in numerous venues. So Trump goes after Michael Haley. Or he goes after Nikki for Michael not being around.
Yeah.
Who is serving overseas. He's a combat veteran who's actively serving overseas right now. And I can't imagine, as someone who has run for office, and you've run for office numerous times, running for office and being a single mom, mm-hmm. going home at night to my children after a grueling day of people not liking to what I have to say, or putting their hand up and not wanting to talk to me, or yelling at me that I was the Republican, or you like Trump when I don't like Trump, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was so hard to go home at night and going home to my kids and their problems and leaving my problems at the door, not having anyone to talk to, not having another person who shares my life to say, oh my God, or to just give me a hug. Because as a mom, you're giving the hugs to your kids. They yes. shouldn't be giving the hugs to you to make you feel better. And I can't imagine, I ran for city council. Like, I can't imagine running for president of the United States on the schedule that she's on and every day doing it without her spouse. And that right. big mouth buffoon gets yep. up on stage and in order to excite a crowd, questions where her husband is. So for every military spouse, it is a direct hit on them.
Especially when he knew.
Yes.
He knew where he was. How dare he? I was infuriated that day because he knew where he was. This is a man. Oh, the glasses are off.
You guys can't see this, but it's awesome. Kim took her glasses off like she's ready to get into a fight.
This is a man who dodged the draft, has never served a day in his life. He has absolutely no respect for our military, and you'll never convince me otherwise. And to go after her husband, listen, you know what? If you want to go after someone's policy positions, that's fine. But he constantly wants to make it personal. He's a pathetic piece of crap, and I have absolutely no respect for this man. You stay away from the military. My first husband was military. My father was military. He served in Vietnam. He served in Korea. He has a Purple Heart. Don't ever go after our military, because I'll tell you what, I'll take you down quicker than you can bat an eyelash, because I have absolutely nothing but respect for our military, and he is a piece of garbage. And to think that as president, he was the commander-in-chief of our military should make everyone quiver, and especially when he's loving our enemies, dictators, murderous dictators. Please, I like my presidents to not kiss the butts of murderous dictators. Thank you very much.
Amen to that. I'm telling you that, I mean, that was the weekend. He goes after mm-hmm. the military. Then he says that Russia should invade our NATO allies because they're not paying their fair share. What the hell?
What? This is a man who wants to start World War III.
Exactly.
So what you do is you have a meeting. You have a meeting, but you don't encourage murderous dictators to go ahead and invade NATO countries. No. That is what starts World War III. You can have a meeting and say, listen, you really need to start pulling your weight. I get that.
I don't think any of us disagree with that. I think that that is absolutely a rational and reasonable approach.
But to say, hey, Putin, go ahead. Go ahead.
But then what happens when you become president and those NATO allies, and then you say, hey, let's sit down. You need to do this. And they're like, go screw yourself. You told that crazy lunatic to invade us.
You can get out of NATO. We're throwing you out.
We're throwing you out. Get out. Bye.
Nothing happens. We cannot be isolationists.
No.
We cannot.
And that's what he's trying to do.
So I think what worries me is that we have a whole nation, because I realize how old I is. I am. There is a whole nation of voters that never knew Ronald Reagan. And I feel like that's such a disservice to them, because I feel like he was such a great man. And I think if they could go back and listen to some of his speeches and just do a little research on him, that I just had so much respect for him. And there is strength in, there's peace in strength.
Yeah.
And that's what people don't understand. They want to say that Nikki's going to get us into World War III. And what you don't understand is, no, she is not. There is peace in strength. No one wants us to get into World War III, especially Nikki, who has a husband in the military. And people need to understand that, but they put on these blinders and refuse to see the big picture. And I think that's unfortunate for them. I think that when you refuse to have an open mind, you really limit yourself. And you limit yourself from seeing the possibilities of what can be. And it's unfortunate, because we really have an opportunity here. I see we have such an opportunity here to let go of the anger. We have such an angry nation.
Yes.
We have such a country that is just pitted against each other. And I can see us as a country that can be happy again, that can work together and can be strong and proud.
Yes.
And that's the country I want. That's what I want for my kids. And that's what I want for my grandchildren. I don't want any more of this anger and hatred and just the yuckiness.
You know? The yuckiness. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. I mean, for me, it is having a real leader, having a role model, having someone you could look up to.
Yes.
But I started noticing, and I did this around Boston, because it was a really interesting cultural shift. Boston, by the way, is not known for its collegiality. It's not really known as being the most gracious, kind city. I mean, we've got a lot of great things going for us, but that is not one of them. People became so rude after Trump was elected. There were many more middle fingers. There were many more jaywalkers that just didn't care. There's a lot of hatred. And I started noticing
that's what he emanates.
Because that's what he emanates. And so it's, if the president of the United States is like that, even if you're not in the same political party, hey, he just gave you license.
Yes.
Biggest jackass that you could possibly be. And that to me was such a turning point, almost as a parent of kids that were younger at that time, that were teenagers, to look at them and be like, oh no, this is not, we have respect. You have dignity. You have class. You have sensitivity. Like all of those things, you know, within reason. Listen, you're not going to let anyone walk all over you and you're, you know, but you can do it in a different way. And so this goes back to what I was going to tweet, but I have since said a bunch of times, he was questioning where Nikki's husband was to his crowd. But what I would love to know is, where the hell is Melania?
Melania running as fast as she can away from him, because that's what I'm doing.
Ivanka and Tiffany.
Yeah.
They haven't shown up. I mean, Lara wants to be out there because she wants to take over the RNC so she could say where the money's going.
Right.
But the girls, his direct women, are nowhere around him.
So I follow Ivanka on Instagram. And she has posted nothing about her father, nothing. It's just her husband, herself, and her kids. That's all it's been. Nothing about her father. I can tell you that, I mean, Melania, I don't want to assign motive to Melania, but I know, you know, her mom was sick. Her mom passed away. I can understand if she's in mourning. But then I saw the video where she didn't even let him in the car with her. She's probably staying as far away from him as she can. God knows I would run in the other direction.
And plus, you have to protect your child, right? As any mother wants to protect their child, which is what she's doing. And God bless her. But I just found it phenomenally interesting that he had the balls to say that when Michael is over in active duty, when his own wife is not around him. And so
and that let's say,
is amazing.
Hey, media. Hey, media, why are you afraid to ask him that question?
Right.
Media, why are you afraid? Why didn't anybody ask him? Hey, cult, MAGA cult, why didn't anybody ask him that question? You're going to make excuses for him. That's what they do.
Exactly.
You know, because what's good for him isn't good for everyone else. He can say it, but no one can question him.
Right. Because he's like an overgrown child that's going to start, you know, ranting and raving and have a temper tantrum in his sandbox.
Do you know what I think of when I see him? Those like the 1940s shows, remember like the Little Rascals when they always had that bully, yeah. Right? They always had that one bully that was always fighting. That's Donald Trump to me. That's what I see when I look at him, because I think he still has a hairstyle. I don't know.
Oh, God. He was more orange and that hair does. That's yes. Amazing.
It's just crazy.
So I am hopeful that going into the next round of elections, that people are paying more attention, that they understand the ruse, that they understand that, you know, mm-hmm. the jig is up, right? That there are, these are not talking points. These are actual percentages. These are actual numbers of people who don't want this guy. And having Nikki Haley again is, you know, for anyone who's unenrolled and living in one of the states that is upcoming, you have a choice. And look, she may not be perfect for you. She's, you know, but that's okay. Because all I say is, look, we're friends. We probably, mm-hmm. if we sat down and put on pen and paper, you know, 50 things that are important to us, we probably have, you know, 25 in common. I don't understand why we look at people running for office and say, we have to agree with you 100%. I would rather know you are a good person, that mm-hmm. you have good intentions, good motives, that you're going to keep an open mind, and you can facilitate conversation, dialogue, and really good public policy. The other stuff, I don't care whether you're male, female. I don't care the color of your skin. I don't really care how old right. you are, as long as you have all your facilities. I mean, there are so many things, but she hits on so many things for so many people that you mm-hmm. almost have to say, I'm going to put the thing I don't like away. And if yeah. that's that she's a Republican and you've never voted for a Republican before, forget that she's a Republican. Look at this as it's just a chance to have a choice in November. And if you don't vote, you have no right to complain when the country goes under either Biden or Trump.
And, you know, the other thing I say about Nikki is she is just so genuine. I have never been around someone who is just so genuinely good, you know, who has just really genuinely the best intentions. And I wish everyone could know her, I think, the way that we know her, because she is just so genuine in her intentions and her. And so well-meaning and really wants the best for this country and the people in it. And it's not about her. And that's what I think is so important, is that it's not about her. It's really about the people in this country. When you hear her give a speech, it's not about her.
Right.
It is about the people.
It is about the people. And you said it perfectly. She's so genuine. You were saying that. I'm like, the thing I say to all of my friends is, you guys would love her.
Yes.
She's one of us.
Exactly.
She's like the girlfriend you want, who would have your back, would girl talk with you, would take your kids in, make sure that they're all set. And I don't mean that from a weak perspective, in a girly perspective, but I mean, if you're breaking down who someone is, you know, mm-hmm. you don't want to have friends. You don't want to invite someone into your home who's going to trash your house, who's going to drink all your vodka, who's going to, you know, pee all over the bathroom. Like,
yeah.
Who's going to kick your dog in the face and make fun of your kids, or, you know, yeah. take pictures of your house and show them around to people and be like, oh my God, can you believe she has this? This is a woman who is actually, and it's hard because I understand that, you know, women sometimes are intimidated by other women who are strong and powerful and intelligent. And she's all of those things. She's strong. Right. She's powerful. She's intelligent. She is capable and competent. She is an amazing leader. However, on the other side, to break it down on the compassion side, she is just the person that you want in office because she will look at everyone's kids as all of her kids. She yes. will look at yes. the future of this country as the future of her own family. And that is something we have not had a leader take into consideration in a really long time. It's all about ego. It's not yes. about what's good for everyone else.
Exactly. And I'm telling you, I don't see her ego
anywhere. At all. No.
Yeah.
No. Kim, thank you so much for being with me today and talking this through. I think it's really important to have our voices heard, you know, from the perspective of people who know her and who have been in this with her for such a long time and will stand with her no matter what she does and where she goes, and actually also understand politics, right? Understand right. politics, understand how this is supposed to go, and understand that, you know, it's not about your ego and it's not about your movement. It's about actually leading a country. And when you become president or governor or a state rep, it's about every one of your constituents, not just a little subsection.
Exactly. So. Yeah.
We'll do this again soon.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure. I'll see you Saturday.
Yes. Kim and I have a big event this weekend, which we get to see Nikki and be with Nikki. So I'm super excited about that. And thank you for listening to Political Contessa. Do me a favor, please make sure you go and vote in your primary. Massachusetts and Super Tuesday states are on March 5th. And if you're listening to this after, make sure you find out when your local primary is. Go vote in your primary, regardless of what the news tells you. Your voice matters. It actually counts, especially you ladies. Make sure you get out there, buck the norm, and make sure that you go vote your heart. All right. Stay happy, healthy, and safe.
Thanks so much for listening to Political Contessa. For all the ways to listen and to get the inside scoop on what's happening in center-right politics for women like us, head over to politicalcontessa.com.